Buckle up. Let's go. Tie game, 4-4. Rangers are trying to cling on to this one, y'all. Welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live coming at you. 4-4 game. Rangers at Red Sox. Getting real interesting. Getting real interesting here. You've got Garabito on the mound right now. Kirby Yates, valiant effort. Don't think that they wanted to go Kirby Yates. Another inning, a third inning in this one. This is going to be a wild finish. I got to be honest with y'all. I am not feeling the greatest at the moment, but I hope to be wrong. I sure do hope to be wrong. Tough spot for Garabito. Win or loss here. Really, really tough spot for Garabito in this one. I got to say, I mean, first impression on that ground rule double feels like Leody could have had that one. Disagree with me. I didn't see the replay. I watched it off the bat. It feels like Leody probably could have got to that one. It was really close. I mean, you're not leaving your feet. Understandably, you don't want to give up the go-ahead run on an inside the Parker, but it felt like Leody could have had that one, y'all. I'm going to have to go back and watch the replay. I don't want to be unfair to him, but that's kind of been all year with Leody. Some questionable plays, some plays you feel like could have been made out there, especially on balls going back to the fence. Right now, center field, line drive, Sogard. Looks like they're going to hold the runner at third. So it's going to be first and third with nobody out here. I don't think at the moment that there is a backup plan. I think Garabito is going to have to get this one done. Another ball. Speaking of, another ball, it kind of looked like Leody probably could have caught. I know I'm going to be super hard in the moment on him. It looked like he was literally standing and waiting for that baseball for about 5 seconds. Just totally stopped. I'm going to watch the replay right now. Just looks like a bad read to me. Didn't want to make the game-losing play, so decided to play it safe. I'm not going to hold back, y'all. I don't think that's a play that needs to drop in front of you. It literally dropped about 3 to 4 feet in front of Leody. I feel like you got to make that catch. Be aggressive. Bad read. Call it whatever you will. Great play by Simi. Looks like they're not going to get two, though. Ground ball up the middle. Simeon perfectly placed. Felt like maybe the Rangers were going to get two there, but I think they wanted to play it safe with the runner on third. So you got runners on first and third, one out here. Very hard ground ball from Rafaela. And the Rangers fortunate to continue on in this game. Bochy out. So never mind. Couldn't see who they had going in the pen. But it looks like we will be having a pitching change here. Interested to see who they're going to bring in, y'all. I'm really curious to see who are we going to bring in right now. Pennington. Walter Pennington. Look, guys, I really hope that this works out perfectly for us. Pennington gets the double play, and we go to the top of the 11th happy. And maybe this is just a consequence of the Spores injury, having to use Robertson and Yates multiple innings, but what a tough spot. You make Garabito save the game, and then you follow it up with Pennington, recently called up from the minors. I just think, obviously, at some point, these guys got to sink or swim coming up from the minor leagues, but Bochy, just notorious, in my opinion, refusing to give soft landing spots to some of these guys. I hope Pennington comes in and pitches the inning of his life right now. But it is just such a tough spot when you have a rookie pitcher coming in at Fenway Park with the game on the line. This is his third major league appearance. Third major league appearance, y'all, for Walter Pennington. I think third or fourth. And you've got him coming in this pressureful environment. He already had a rough go his first time out. He's pitched an inning and two-thirds in his career. This is his third appearance, as I said. I don't know, y'all. We're going to see how this one goes. Looks like Pennington is going to face a pinch hitter here. Gasper for the Red Sox. Gasper on the year. I don't know if he has any ABs. Is this a rookie guy coming up? Looks like this rookie is making his major league debut right now for the Red Sox. Mickey Gasper, a catcher, switch hitter, making his major league debut for the Sox right now. Let's see what he can do. Ball one from Pennington. Fastball inside. I'll be checking comments occasionally, y'all, but I'm going to be real. I'm going to lock in on play-by-play. Promise I'll get to all the comments, so bear with me. If you have a comment that you want to drop in, I'll 100% make sure I get to it. Strike two on a foul ball, cutter inside. So 1-1 count here to Gasper. Again, Gasper, this is his first major league at bat. What a spot. So we got rookie on rookie right now with the game on the line. 1-1 count. Corey Seager, of course, probably the biggest hit in this game. Called strike two. So 1-2 count for Pennington. Nice sinker. Caught a little bit of the plate, but down low. Gasper taking on that one. 1-2 count. Corey Seager with probably the biggest hit of the game. Two-run bomb with two outs in the top of the seventh inning. Hopefully, it is not all for naught. We got Rafaela advancing to second on defensive indifference. That run doesn't matter. Although, a little curious that they didn't even defend it because you've got the double play ball in order there. Really curious what happened there. Not able to see it in real time, y'all, but defensive indifference, runner advances, double play ball totally out of the picture now. Rangers did have the infield drawn in. I wonder if that had something to do with it. It was a dirt ball that Heim wasn't able to handle. But they call it a defensive indifference. Interesting there. Right now, we got a 3-2 count. I wonder if they're going to just put the runner on here, even though it is a rookie. They're not. They got foul ball on a sinker down low. So they're not completely giving up on the AB here. But interesting, you got the base open at first. Now, that being said, you got Yoshida coming up next. A lefty, so a favorable matchup. I'm curious why they're not a little more quick to put on Gasper here. I know he's making his major league debut here, but with the base open, you would think they might want to put him on. I mean, that's what I would be doing. And it looks like, whether intentionally or not, we're going to have a walk here. A pretty uncompetitive seventh pitch. So slider down and in. I think he might have been trying to get him to swing on that one, but nevertheless, it loads the bases. Yoshida will come up. Yoshida 0-for-4 on the night with a walk and two strikeouts. Got a little lefty-on-lefty matchup here. Bases loaded. I kind of like this a little bit better. Really didn't want to see them pitch to Gasper, regardless of him having his first major league at bat. You want to have the bases loaded for the force out. I know Yoshida is a better hitter than Gasper, but I like the bases loaded. You've got a force at home now. I think that was the right move. I really wouldn't be second-guessing that one in the slightest. I was a little surprised they didn't go ahead and just put him on. So we got Yoshida up now. A little mound visit happening. Bases loaded. Rangers and Red Sox tied 4-4 in the bottom of the 10th inning. And Walter Pennington up on the hill making just his third major league appearance. And we are going to see if he can get himself out of this one. Big time pitches coming up right here for Walter Pennington. Can he get out of this? Oh my goodness. Pennington about to set. And looks like we are going to have a ground out to Semien. Simi throws home, and we will get the force out. That is it. Still two outs, but huge play there. Huge play to get to the second out. Doesn't look like there was really any chance to get two. I wondered if Simi was going to flip to Seager. Looked like he might have had an opportunity. Definitely a conservative play there for Marcus Semien. But in my opinion, Simi, one of the, if not the best defensive second baseman in the league. I find it very difficult to question him. It wasn't a super hard hit ball. Simi basically was looking home the entire time. Yoshida safe by about a step. And now we have Ref Snyder coming up. Ref Snyder does rake against lefties. So this is a dangerous at bat. Pennington ball one and ball two. So we got a 2-0 count right now to Rob Ref Snyder, who again is very, very good against lefties. In fact, when the Rangers played the Red Sox back in Arlington, he took a couple of our lefties deep. Looks like we have a 2-0 count, as I said. Ref Snyder up. We will see what this next pitch brings. Oh, and that'll do it, y'all. Ref Snyder single. Line drive to center field. I can't imagine that is what Pennington is trying to do right there. Center cut. Center cut. Cutter right down the pipe, y'all. I mean, I cannot imagine that's what Pennington's trying to do. I know he doesn't have anywhere to go. But that was smoked. Ref Snyder absolutely tattooed that baseball. And the Red Sox take this one. And we can't always have a Josh Smith walk-off. Cannot always have a Josh Smith walk-off, I guess, y'all. But that's how this one ends. Ref Snyder tattooing a baseball right down the pipe from Walter Pennington. Ugh. This one hurts. You had the Seager bomb to tie it up 3-3. You had very clutch performances from Yates, from Robertson. And then you had to turn it over to Garabito. You had to turn it over to Pennington, and this is the result that you get. You know they weren't going to go Leclerc. Leclerc, I don't think, was anywhere in the mind of Bruce Bochy tonight. And after that, it's just difficult who you really want to see. But if I could just plug this real quick, I think this is a moment, this is a game where you miss Jonathan Hernandez. I still think the Jonathan Hernandez DFA absolutely coming back to bite the Rangers. I think this is a game where you would have loved to have been able to throw Jonathan Hernandez in the 10th. You know he's got big game strikeout ability, not always the most consistent, but the Rangers miss Jonathan Hernandez. I never thought I'd really be saying that sentence out loud, but I think it's 100% true. You could have used Hernandez coming in the top or the bottom of the 10th in this one. Look, I don't really think there's anybody else. There's nobody else who I would have rather seen in this game. Leclerc is really the only other bullpen arm that the Rangers had. You went Pennington, you went Garabito. Leclerc was all they had left. It's unfortunate. But I will say the Jonathan Hernandez DFA, I think, coming back to bite the Rangers once again. You can't tell me they wouldn't like to have that guy. Let me get to comments. I said I would, and want to make sure I don't miss anybody. First of all, thank you to everybody for tuning in. Appreciate all of y'all supporting the channel. There's a lot of Rangers options out there for content, and I'm thankful you choose Ride on Rangers. I wish we could be live under better circumstances. Rangers lose this one 5-4. But hey, if you're watching, you're not subscribed to the channel, you're not following the account already, please do so. Hit that notification button. Get notified every time we go live. Stay up to date with all of our latest and greatest content. Let's keep growing this good group, this good community of people we got talking Rangers baseball. That's why I started this in the first place. So thank you once again. Appreciate you. Horrible calls by Bochy. Let's break some of those down. I've got a few in mind, but I'm going to get to y'all's comments before I start going off on a couple of them. Let me keep going here. John, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. John says, dude, Boch screwing the pooch again, pulling Mally with two outs. Literally the same thing that happened with Leclerc. Why didn't Mally finish the inning there? I really feel like that was the difference in this game. It's what I was going to do my big lead in if the Rangers were to lose. You know, things change sometimes based on wins and losses, but that was going to be my big lead in if the Rangers weren't able to come back in this one. So in the top or the bottom of the fifth inning, you had Tyler Mally getting into a little bit of trouble, will we call it? A little bit of trouble in the bottom of the fifth, but kind of like Andrew Heaney, nothing crazy unmanageable. Now, I know that they're trying to save Mally and ease him back. And if we look at the pitch count, Mally was at 92 pitches. Now, do I think it's pretty plausible that he could have finished that inning and then been pulled? Yes, I do think that they could have pushed him. My guess, John, and anybody else wondering why they pulled Mally, I can only assume that he's on somewhat of an innings or pitch limit. That's only what I can assume. Maybe they just didn't want to see him get to 100 pitches. That is the only thing I can think of. It doesn't make me love the move anymore, taking him out in that spot. I think at this point, we need to get wins, and I know that they're looking forward to the future, but we got basically a year and a couple months left with Mally. This isn't a guy that is going to be around probably super long-term, if I had to guess. I'm not saying put him in dangerous situations, but this isn't Jack Leiter. This isn't Kumar Rocker. I think Mally could have thrown to one more batter. That is my honest take. Maybe a little harsh considering Mally, long recovery from his injury, but I do think that they should have had him in there for one more batter. Get out of the inning. I don't think anybody better in our bullpen could have gotten that out than Tyler Mally could have. So let's go to that bottom of the fifth inning, and let's go play by play. So bottom of the fifth inning, we had, first of all, a walk to begin, then a strikeout, then another strikeout. And I think it's kind of similar to Andrew Heaney, 100% in that Heaney gets the unassisted double play. I mean, it wasn't him that was doing that got the unassisted double play, but you know what I mean? Heaney gets the double play. You intentionally walk Aaron Judge, and then you bring in somebody else. So Mally walks somebody, strikes out back-to-back guys, and I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, we want lefty-lefty. We want Trailer Park coming in against Devers. So I understand the mentality. I really do. But at the same time, Chafin got knocked around yesterday in New York. Back-to-back bombs. Chafin had a terrible day yesterday. So in my opinion, bringing in Chafin today was just about as bad as bringing in Leclerc would have been today. They just got lit up, both of them. I didn't want to see Leclerc or Chafin today. Let Chafe have a moment and let him sit this one out if at all possible. I would have much rather Malley had a chance against Devers. I don't think Devers had a hit against Malley. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. I think Devers was 0 for 2 against Malley up to that point. So we go to the bottom of the fourth. Devers struck out swinging. And then you go to probably bottom two or bottom one. Devers struck out swinging. That, to me, is all the evidence you need. So Devers had struck out twice against Malley in the first and in the fourth, or the first and the third. So coming into the at-bat, two strikeouts, what's not to like? I think it's analytics, y'all. I really do. I don't think there's any other explanation. It's just totally Bochy and Maddux looking at the analytics, looking at the pitch count, and making a call. I don't think that that's feel at all. So Bochy, definitely known for being a guy that just pulls all the right strings, a guy that just is a puppet master with the bullpen, doesn't just go off analytics, goes off feel. You're going off feel in that spot, and you're thinking Malley is going to give up a big one right here to Devers, who he struck out twice coming into this one. I don't buy it. If you are a guy that's going off feel as a manager, why are you benching a guy in Malley that struck out Devers back-to-back times in his first two at-bats? Why would you bank on him giving up a big hit after two straight Ks? I think that's the biggest argument, more than anything, for why Tyler Malley should have stayed in the game. You struck out Devers twice. I don't care about lefty on lefty. Just like I don't care lefty on lefty or lefty on righty in the case of yesterday with Giancarlo and Andrew Heaney. I'd much rather Andrew Heaney go up there against Giancarlo than bring Leclerc in. Much rather that. What ensued from there was ridiculous. I don't think anybody would have ever expected Andrew Chafin walking four in a row. Four in a row. And I like Andrew Chafin. This isn't going to turn into a rant. Why did we trade for him? Blah, blah, blah. I like Chafin. I really do. I really do. But four straight walks, it's ridiculous. He's coming off a tough game yesterday. I think it was a little bit of a bad decision just to use him in the first place today. I think you easily could have given him the day off. I really don't know why they didn't go Malley for that last out, but that was one of the biggest moments in this game. And I think it ultimately cost the Rangers. Look, only four runs scored tonight, one of them in extras. Only six hits tonight. Not super ideal. Bayo, a guy that really had struggled of late, a guy that has over a 5 ERA on the year, Brian Bayo, Red Sox starter tonight. You can only muster up six hits total the whole game. It wasn't pretty offensively. I'm going to keep going here. But Chafin, kind of the goat of the game, not the good kind of goat. I mean, just four straight walks. That's hard to do. I really do feel like that is hard to do. And once again, just like Andrew Heaney yesterday, you can't tell me that Malley proceeds to give up two runs in that spot. You had Rob Refsnyder, I believe, coming up shortly after that. You just cannot tell me that that Malley stays in the game and gives up two runs there. Rob Refsnyder struck out. Then we had the intentional walk to Devers. Another thing I don't get, intentional walk. Maybe that's wrong in here. I thought that there was a little more to that, but I do not understand what the strategy was there. The Rangers media, and I don't want to go off on this, but the Rangers media, I don't know how much they really grill Bruce Bochy, but if this was the Boston or New York media, Bruce Bochy would be getting absolutely grilled tonight for some of those decisions. And he'd be getting grilled for the one yesterday too. The Rangers media is pretty nice. The Boston media, oh my gosh, they'd be lighting him up tonight. Bochy, absolutely lucky he is in the kind of market that he's in, where, of course, we Rangers fans love our baseball, but the Rangers media for baseball, not super hard on anybody. So I really would love to hear Boach's explanation. I'm sure it was super nonchalant, whatever. Yeah, sure. We wanted to go lefty on lefty there. And, you know, Mally, high pitch count. And, you know, it's just a tough spot. You know how Bochy does it. I mean, let me know how I did on the impression. But that's all you hear Bochy say in the post game. You know, and I doubt they even really question the move. You know, they probably just talked about Chafin having a bad night. Boach, Andrew Chafin didn't have it tonight. You know, talk to what he did out there. You know, it's not like they're pointedly saying, Boach, why not stick with Mally in that spot? Why go to Chafin? I don't hear pointed questions like that very often. I would love to start hearing them. But we got to keep going. It's very frustrating. I feel like back-to-back games, Bochy not been pulling the right strings, and there's an argument to be made that each of those decisions, both yesterday and today, led directly to losses. And y'all don't hear me harp on Bochy a ton. I mean, probably if I had to put a number on it, it's probably barely double-digit games I've got on here and railed on Bruce Bochy afterwards, because you know there's Rangers fans out there every single game. It's what Bochy did or didn't do. Y'all know I'm not like that on here, but I've got to call it like it is right now. Back-to-back games, terrible decision-making, just not a fan. Not a fan at all. Gio, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Offense continues not to score early in games. Go Rangers. Thanks for tuning in once again, my friend. Appreciate you. So we got a 1-1 ball game going into the top of the fifth inning or bottom of the fifth inning. And y'all know what one of my biggest pet peeves is in the game of baseball. You score a run, you level the game. And no, we can't blame Mally. I think we got to go back to Bochy. But you make it 1-1 and then immediately give up the lead again in the bottom half. Just one of my biggest pet peeves. I know it's not completely controllable, but the Rangers just do this so often. You tie the game, you crawl back in the game, get within one or two, and then you give back the runs that you just scored. So for the Rangers to tie the game at one apiece in the fifth, then go back in the bottom half and give the lead up again, it's so disheartening. It's just a total momentum killer when you can't throw up a zero after scoring runs. So same thing happened in the 10th. And I know that with the wonky ghost runner rule, it's not the same situation, but Rangers score in the top of the 10th. Really just playing the small ball, right? Ground out, and scoring a run without even getting a single hit. That is impressive. I like that kind of baseball. You do have to walk a tightrope in the bottom half, but Rangers just unable. In the 7th inning, they actually won the 7th, scored 2 on the Seager bomb, and then, thanks to David Robertson, throw up a 0 in the bottom half. But the Rangers just not good this year at the shutdown inning. The shutdown inning has eluded the Rangers, I feel, more times than not this season. Another reason why they are now 9 games under 500, and Houston continues to win. I am really trying to pull back a lot, on the playoff discussion. At this point, I think we have to try and enjoy individual performances as much as we can, and we're going to admire some of those today. It's easy to get on here and just gloom and doom the whole time. I feel like we have to focus on the positives, and I'm going to try and do that the rest of the show. I absolutely will still continue. I don't want anybody to think I'm going soft. I will still continue to call out some of the negatives I'm seeing, the bad decision-making like we did tonight. But we can't be all gloom and doom on the show. We got to find some positives, some silver linings. As I've said consistently this entire season, regardless of how 2024 finishes, the Rangers are going to be a competitive ball club in 25. Do they need to make some moves? Yes. Do they need to retool and reload at certain positions? Absolutely. Is 2025 going to be just like this year was? I don't think so. I think 2025 is going to be a better year. And I think right now we're obviously still going to be, and I hope the Rangers are still in the mindset of winning ball games. But I do think it's going to be exciting to start thinking about next year, 2025, and what the Rangers have. Hopefully a full season of DeGrom. And we're excited to see DeGrom go out and make his Rangers debut this season, his season debut. I'm very excited for that. Hope DeGrom continues to throw well. September call-ups, always fun. Look, the Rangers, I think, are still going to win some games down the stretch. I wouldn't be surprised if they do go on a few runs to end the season. I don't think it's going to be enough, but I do think that when this team gets a little bit of pressure off, and unfortunately, I think that they're going to achieve that with the way that they're losing and the way Houston is winning right now, at some point, it's just going to be almost mathematically impossible for them to make the playoffs if they keep on this clip. And I think at that point, you're probably going to see them start playing a little bit looser. I don't think it's going to tailspin them. I think in a way it's going to be a weight off. And I think we might see them string together some good stretches of baseball. I really do. But let's go a little bit shorter term here, a little smaller picture, less big picture. Let's talk the game tonight. Corey Seager, let's just lock in on him. I mean, he just continues to have a great stretch of games. 7 homers in his last 10. And I think over his last 15, hitting .302 with 7 bombs and 14 RBI. So 14 RBI in his last 15 games, .328 OBP. Corey Seager definitely on one of those heaters right now. And it's fun to watch. I told y'all at the beginning of the season, Corey Seager over 29.5 home runs. Easiest bet in baseball, cash it. And he appears to be well on his way. He would have to go into quite the cold slump. He's at 26 right now. He needs to hit 4 over the next 2 months or month and a half, roughly. I like my chances there for Corey to hit 30 homers. Again, said it at the beginning of the year. Best lock in baseball on the onset of the season. And Corey continues to hit the ball out of the ballpark, 7 homers in his last 10 games. And 7 homers in his last 15 as well. And he has 6 hits over his last 3 games. So multi-hit on Saturday, Sunday, and now Monday. He is on one of those heaters, and it's fun to watch. You wish the rest of the team could get in line. You know, one of my comments was that it always feels like with this team and this season, when somebody gets hot, somebody else gets cold, right? You have Garcia getting hot. Nate Lowe goes cold over the weekend. You have Seager getting hot. Simeon ice cold. It's like they can't get everybody hot at one time. Somebody just has to go cold when somebody else gets hot. I feel like that's happened almost all season long. And that continues to be the story here. You check the box score, and a few other guys I think we can point to with some decent games. I think Josh Smith, obviously coming through with the RBI, gets the walk as well earlier in the game. Not a lot else, really, though. Tavares, 1-for-3 with the walk, on base twice. You'll take that all day long from your 9-hole. But we had runners left in scoring position at 7. 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position, not good. And Garcia and Smith each with runners left in scoring position with 2 outs. So Dolley getting moved back up to the 4 spot. We didn't even really talk about the lineup shift yet. But the lineup shift I thought was really interesting. Bochy's quote was basically trying to get the old band back together. Can't say it worked. In fact, I would probably rather just have seen them stuck to the lineup that they had going. Smith leadoff. Seager second, Simi third. I don't mind that they moved Dolley back up after the hot weekend that he had. You just wonder if he's going to be able to sustain. He hasn't been able to do it all season long. So I was a little surprised to see the moves today, dropping Langford all the way down to 7th. I know he has not been great in the past 7 15-game stretch. Looks like 174 over his last 7 for Wyatt Langford. But it still surprised me to see such a drastic shift in the lineup. Maybe another thing that you look at and you say, Bochy misfiring. Right, that's kind of the theme, the story, I think, of the game. Bochy going to Chafin with 2 outs after Malley had struck out back-to-back hitters. Devers coming up, a guy Malley had struck out twice already in the game. I think this game is the Bruce Bochy misfires. I mean, the offense obviously didn't hit well. We're not going to put it all on Boch. But it did feel like Boch made a couple of really, really big decisions that ended up costing the Rangers in this one. Let's keep on going. We had a couple other comments I wanted to get to. Baseball Network says, feel like we should keep the lineup that Boch put out tonight. I mean, look, I could go either way. I'm not going to sit up here and say it's the worst decision ever, but this lineup didn't work either. Can we just be real about it? This lineup did not work either. This lineup has played many a terrible game for the Rangers this year. So I don't feel like this lineup is really going to help do anything special. In fact, I'd go so far as to say, if we do happen to have a good few baseball games with this lineup, I feel like it's almost dumb luck, because this lineup right now that we had tonight pretty much has stunk it up all season long. There's been a few bright spots, but let's just be real. This lineup that Bruce put out tonight, that Bochy put out tonight, has not been good all year long. So I'm not expecting really a whole lot to go differently with the same lineup that struggled all year. In fact, I thought, again, maybe having Semien cover Corey Seager, protect Corey Seager was the better move. Josh Smith does all right tonight in that role, but I don't think Josh Smith is a three-hole hitter. And that's something I really hope the Rangers address in the offseason. You don't need to have Josh Smith as your three-hole hitter. Yeah, a couple of things on TikTok. There were some brutal strike three calls tonight, some really brutal strike three calls tonight. In fact, Leody Taveras, I think this is what you're talking about. Natalie commented, Seager's homer should have been a three-run homer. If you go back and you look at Leody's at-bat right before Marcus Semien, Jonah Heim had walked to lead off the inning. I mean, that strike three call on Leody, fastball outside, was not even close. I'd love to see umpire auditor tomorrow and just how bad the home plate umpire was tonight. You're not going to get perfect calls with humans back behind the dish calling balls and strikes, but Leody's strike three call was exceptionally bad. Now, it does go without saying that should have been, that would have been ball three, and we don't really know what would have happened after that. So I think it's a little bit of a stretch to say it would have been a three-run homer, because if that call is made correctly, and Jason, if you're still watching, I think that's the one you're talking about, right? That would have been ball three. So we don't know if Leody would have actually ended up reaching there. It was a 2-2 count and strike three on a terrible pitch call on the far, far outside corner. I mean, that is not even in like the shadow box. Like, they've got the hard line, they've got the shadow box. That pitch was not even in the shadow box outside of the hard line. As some of y'all might know what I'm talking about if you do a lot of MLB app and look at the strike zone. That was a terrible call. And with the game being as tight as it was, two-run game in the top of the seventh, you'd like to see the umpires not get calls like that wrong. I can take a pitch a little off the plate called strike three. This was not a little off the plate. This was a lot off the plate. We don't know what Leody would have done in a 3-2 count, but you got a chance there. 3-2 count, anything can happen. Anything could happen. Let me keep going here. Gio says, hopefully the Rangers finish the final week strong with wins to feel good for next season. At least they'll get a top 10 draft pick for the future. Go Rangers. That's the bright side. And I think just positive momentum going into next year. Look, very, very small, small, minuscule outside chance the Rangers make the playoffs. But like I said, we're going to reframe a little bit here. And we're going to enjoy each game, still break it down for you. The good, the bad, the ugly. And if they happen to go on a 20-game win streak and get back into the race, sweet. We'll love it. But I think we got to stop worrying so much about the playoff spot. Let's worry about guys finishing the season well, getting DeGrom back, seeing him pitch well. That's going to be my frame of mind moving forward, although still going to give you my best analysis post-game, win or loss. Comment here says, look, I certainly respect Bochy, his World Series accomplishments, but this season very often want to say WTF. Yeah, there's been a number of games. I can't say a certain number, but I do feel like Bochy has not quite been the mastermind that he's known for being. A lot of people have chalked it up to what he did back during his time in San Francisco. Win a World Series, miss the playoffs. Win a World Series, miss the playoffs. So that is kind of Bochy's MO. That's what he did with San Francisco for a number of years. So maybe that's what we're just going to have to deal with. Of course, next year, the final year of Bruce Bochy's contract, that's an interesting thing to keep your eye on. I don't know if the Rangers are going to look to extend him in the offseason or if they're just going to take him right up to the expiration date. I think that's something that you've got to look at. I can imagine with Bruce Bochy's age, it's just not going to shock me if CY and him get together and they just kind of see how next year goes. If they extend him, great. Look, I'd rather have Bruce Bochy than anybody else. I don't want another coach. I got to make that super clear. I don't like the last 2 days of decision-making by him, but I think we all can remember some of the managers that we've run through in this Rangers organization. I think we need to be thankful for Bruce Bochy at the end of the day. So I can't disagree with anybody's criticism of Bochy's game plan today and the way that he orchestrated the bullpen and the decision-making. No arguments from me. I will say, I do think we got to take a step back and be grateful to have one of the best managers to have ever coached in this game. So I like this comment. It's a good balance. Respect the accomplishments, but game to game, fair game for criticism, in my opinion. Let me keep going here. Tristan, thanks for all the comments today. Thanks for tuning in. His comment says, go Texas Rangers. Hope we get a win tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, because the Rangers don't have another off day until a week from Thursday. We got a ton of games coming up. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. But hopefully we can get a win at some point. John was just about to get to this. The comment says, I almost forgot about Seager trying to steal home in the first on that double steal. They let the pitcher get off the hook there. Seager definitely made up for it. That was a terrible play. And look, who knows? You just don't know what they told Seager. Again, if I was in the dugout, if I was in the clubhouse after the game, I would be asking, Boach, is that just kind of a Seager goes no matter what play? Are you asking Seager to read that? Or are you just saying if the catcher lets it fly, go home? Or if the catcher goes to second, go home? I would be curious to see what the actual call is there. And if any of y'all saw the post game or heard Bochy answering questions, let me know. I'll have to do some digging myself. But Seager, we all know, is not the best base runner. I mean, maybe he could be, but Seager just looks like he has got a trailer attached to him every time he runs the bases. Like, I really don't know how else to put it. Looks like the dude is hauling a trailer every time he's running around the bases out there. So for me, I have no clue why you're even trying to do a double steal with him. Again, the only thing I can really think of is they just told him if the throw gets down to second or goes down to second without a cutoff, go. If they were telling him to read it, I would say I still wouldn't even put it on Seager. I would put it back on the coaches. Why are you having Corey Seager in a read situation trying to steal home? You know that he doesn't run the bases that well. I mean, he's not terrible, but we've all seen Seager run. He's not a speed demon. He's not fleet of foot. He runs very gingerly, very carefully around the bases. Don't want to pull a hammy or anything like that. I just don't get it. If Seager is making the decision there, don't put it in his hands. Just park his butt on third and live or die by what happens up at the plate. So for anybody that didn't get to watch in the top of the first, at that point, you had Josh Smith taking a walk, Dolley grounded into a force out. So you had Josh Smith out at second, first and third, Dolley and Seager. And then from there, after Dolley grounds out, you had Nate Lowe up to bat. Understood that Nate Lowe has not been going very well over his last several games. Totally get it. But I still wouldn't be taking the bat out of Nate Lowe's hands in that situation. So, John, totally with you on that. Not sure what the double steal was all about. I'm going to keep trying to scroll on TikTok and a couple of the other ones, make sure I didn't forget anything. But thank you so much, everybody tuning in today. Appreciate you guys and everybody on X, on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Thanks for tuning in today to Ride on Rangers. Let me keep on going here. Avery, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. I know this is a Rangers stream, but I love the Giants. Follow Rangers because of Bochy. I know several Giants fans. You know, just doing this channel, doing Ride on Rangers for a long time, I run into a lot of baseball people. I hear this comment quite a bit. I'm a Giants fan, but I follow the Rangers. Love Bruce Bochy. How do you not love Bruce Bochy? If you're a Giants fan, how do you not still kind of quietly root for the Rangers a little bit? Boch, just such a great manager, Hall of Fame manager, winning championships in both the AL and the NL with different teams. I mean, I've said over the course of this year, and really since last year, I think Bruce Bochy is a top five manager of all time, and I don't think it's particularly close. I think Bruce Bochy is one of the legends of this game in terms of coaching. So we are getting on Boch a little bit today for some of his calls, but we take it with a grain of salt. We look at the big picture. He's one of the best to have ever done it, and I don't want anybody else at the helm. I hope CY can convince him to do a couple more years. It would have to get really pretty ugly for me to not want Bochy to be the coach of this team for the foreseeable future. Keep it in perspective, too. Bochy's dealt with crazy amounts of injuries this year. You didn't have your starting third baseman almost the entire season. You have one of your star outfielders in Adolis Garcia pretty much fall off a cliff this year. I don't really understand anybody that doesn't want Bruce Bochy at the helm. Really don't get that. Let me go to a couple of others. Yeah, replacing Malley with Chafin was definitely the move that I think turned the game, especially Malley back-to-back strikeouts. He had struck out Devers, I think, two games up to that point. So I really don't know why they didn't go ahead and just leave him in the game. Really don't know why, but hopefully Bochy answered that question. We can get the answer post-game, but I really don't know what the deal was in the moment. Let me keep going here, y'all. I think it's appropriate. We talked enough about this one. Festa, I do really like what I saw from Festa in the bullpen. We already talked Robertson and Yates and just them being nails out there. They really did give the Rangers a great chance to win. It's really unfortunate because now I really do feel like the rest of this series, if you don't get a quality outing from Urania, I believe, tomorrow, if you don't get a quality outing from Urania tomorrow, the Rangers are in deep trouble. I mean, you really don't have a lot of guys that are going to be available. Maybe you can get an out or two out of Robertson or Yates, but I really don't know what the Rangers are going to do tomorrow if they do not get a good starting outing from Jose Urania. So Urania pitching tomorrow against Cutter Crawford, they really need six strong out of Urania. They are in deep trouble if they cannot get, let's say, at least five innings out of Urania. I almost feel like tomorrow has got to be, Jose, take one for the team. Take one for the team. Even if you give up five or six, we need you to throw six innings. I don't know how they can do anything different. They have pretty much nobody out there in the bullpen. It's either that or you say, Jose Leclerc, you're throwing three innings today, and if you get lit up and the ERA balloons up to seven, so be it. But tomorrow, I think, has got to be a day where they try and get some length out of maybe two or three guys. I don't think tomorrow is going to be a game where you can mix or match. Chafin has pitched 2 days in a row, maybe three. I don't think he's going to be available tomorrow. Maybe Robertson's available. Maybe Yates is available. But I really can't see the Rangers trying to use a lot of the big arms. I think they're going to hope to get six innings out of Urania. Maybe have Leclerc go two, three innings. And I don't know who else. But it's not looking great for the pitching tomorrow. Hopefully Jose Urania has his A game, has his A stuff, because the Rangers are pretty short on arms right now. By the way, let's go through and kind of preview that matchup. Again, the bullpen tonight, I think Festa, definitely a bright spot. Kind of got hit around a little bit yesterday, but he comes in, goes an inning and a third, scoreless. So good for Festa. Then beyond that, you had Garabito coming in a tough spot, Pennington coming in a tough spot. I take both of those appearances with a huge grain of salt. I know I've used that expression a few times tonight, but I'm not expecting things to go well for Pennington and Garabito at Fenway Park in a real tight game in extra innings. Are you guys? I'm not expecting either one of those guys to have stellar outings with that kind of pressure on them. So I'd much rather see them put in lower pressure situations. Pennington, do you want to ruin that guy's confidence? I mean, that's what I'm worried about. You brought Pennington out there and he's got shelled a couple of different times. I don't know. I'm looking for an easy, soft landing spot for Pennington. And I'm hoping to get him into some less pressure games. You don't want to keep throwing these young guys out there in these big spots and ruining their confidence. You're just setting them up for failure at some point. I know the Rangers were a little bit limited with the bullpen. Really, all they had left in that 10th inning was to have Yates throw another inning, a third consecutive inning, or you've got Leclerc, Garabito, or Pennington. It's a tough spot. So there really wasn't a great answer in the 9th inning, in my opinion. But I would really like to see Bochy get those guys involved in a little bit less stressful situations, if at all possible. Now, for the game tomorrow, again, Urania versus Cutter Crawford. Let me go through the matchups. First of all, Urania versus Boston. So you've got Abreu 2-for-2 with a home run. Rafaela 0-for-2. Devers 3-for-8 in his career versus Urania. You've also got Dominic Smith hitting, I believe, 2-for-17 or 3-for-17, 176 average. Sogard 1-for-2. Wong 2-for-2. The catcher, Wong, 2-for-2, and Yoshida, 0-for-2. So not a huge sample size, but last time out, Urania pitched against the Red Sox, and he went four innings, gave up seven earned runs. It wasn't pretty. Game got away from him a little bit, eight hits. So hopefully he will rebound in this second time out. I still think at this point, Urania is probably going to be going 5-6 strong, regardless of what he ends up doing. I think tomorrow could be an interesting game for the Rangers, not one I'm feeling overly confident about, y'all. And you don't hear me say that all the time. I can probably count it on two hands how many times I've come on here and said, I'm not very confident we're going to win this game. Maybe y'all can say a lot more times you've said that to yourself. I don't know. I just feel like this team does have the talent to win games, but they just can't put it together. Tomorrow, though, I feel like it's going to be a tough win with Urania in a depleted bullpen. Cutter Crawford has not been incredible. Like, he has not been lights out. Cutter Crawford in his last seven games, 5.35 ERA. That doesn't sound impressive to me. Cutter Crawford has given up 5 earned runs in his last 3 games. And what I mean by that, let me get a little more specific and explain it better. He's given up at least 5 earned runs in each of his last 3 games. So it might be a game where a lot of runs are scored tomorrow, kind of like survival of the fittest, because each team did use a lot of bullpen guys today. But yeah, Cutter Crawford, at least 5 earned runs allowed in his last 3 starts. Let me go to the complete game log and see if it's been more than 3. So in his 4th start against the Dodgers, so he's given up 5 or more in his last 4 starts. Dodgers, he gave up 6. Yankees, 5. Texas, 5. Last time he pitched against us. And KC gave up 6. So he has given up a grand total of 22 runs in his last 4 starts. So it feels like a day that the offense should be able to get going. Crazy enough, in that game against us where he gave up 5 earned runs, he allowed 4 homers. This is against the Rangers back on August 2nd. We hit 4 homers off of Crawford, but he still managed to get the win. That was in our stretch where the starting pitching was just soiling the bed very uncharacteristically. So tomorrow might be a game where the offense, kind of like the early 2000s Rangers, might be able to power their way to victory. Might just be able to get it done. Maybe that's wishful thinking on my part, but Cutter Crawford has not been good of late, and the Rangers did hit him around just about 10 days ago. So my hope is that the offense gives us at least a fighting chance with Jose Urania pitching and a depleted bullpen. John, I wanted Yates too, man. I really did. I just think they are going to be really careful not to hurt anybody at this point in the year. I think in the back of Bochy, in the back of CY's mind, you kind of know it's a long shot right now to make the playoffs. You just don't want to see Yates go out there and get hurt. He's probably going to get paid. In fact, I know he's going to get paid by somebody on a 1-year deal, 2-year deal in the offseason. Somebody's going to pay that dude. Maybe 10, 15, maybe, I don't think 20, but I think he might be able to get $15 million. Kirby Yates on a 1-year deal. They don't want to ruin that for him. And I do think throwing him out there for a 3rd straight inning, asking him to get, you know, 2+ or 2 2/3, that's a lot. Asking Kirby Yates to get 8 outs, just not ideal. But the fan in me, like the emotional reaction in me, absolutely I wanted Yates out there and not Garabito. I mean, that's no disrespect to Garabito, but that's just all the respect to Kirby Yates and how good he's been. And he was good tonight. He was very good tonight. Let me check out comments and whatnot. Yeah, we got a couple of comments in Instagram. That's funny. I try and keep it PG, so I'll try and translate. Basically, why do the Rangers suck so much? Look, it's been one of those years. I love the Rangers, always will, but it has been a bit of a year of suck, if we could just be honest. Rangers are 9 games under 500, have lost a lot of games that they probably should have won. It's just not been the Rangers' year. We love the Rangers, going to support them through the bad times, just like we've done for their entire existence. But the Rangers are not a great baseball team this year. Or if we don't want to say it that way, they are one of the least consistent baseball teams, one of the least reliable baseball teams this year. Can't count on them. Can't count on them to win the big one. When you think they should win, they lose. And when you think they should lose, they usually lose. That's kind of where the Rangers are at right now. So hopefully the end of the season, we can end on a positive. We can potentially end the year on a good note, maybe get that high draft pick. That's the plan. We're going to try and enjoy each game. Oh, no. Oh, no. I haven't been through all the years of suffering. Neither do I claim to. And I know there are a lot of people out there that have been fans since the early 70s when they moved to Arlington, and have been suffering for 50 plus years before they won that World Series. So It's not even a competition for me. I understand there's a lot of Rangers fans that had it worse. Myself became a Rangers fan right around the turn of the century, right around 2000 probably. So been a Rangers fan for about the past 24 years of my life. Feel old saying that out loud, but been a Rangers fan for about 24 years. I actually grew up a Cardinals fan. I was born in St. Louis, lived there for about the first 10 years of my life. Still have a special spot in my heart for the Cards, but look, Rangers, Cards, 2011, it was all Rangers. Wanted them to get their first World Series, and it's almost totally 100% all Rangers now at this point. Clearly, I spend this much time talking about them day in and day out, but 24 years, 23 years until they won a World Series, I really do hope that we can do exactly what John mentions in this comment, which is play spoiler. Can we beat the Mariners in all seven of the games we have left with them? That's playing spoiler. Can we do something fun? Go on a little 8-9 game winning streak? Maybe it's not going to make a difference, but can we just have some fun to end the season? Because some of these games are just not fun the way the Rangers are dropping them. Let's give the fans some fun to end this year. We got some homestands coming up. We got some, I think, weaker competition in September. Not that you take anybody for granted, but I hope the Rangers can put on a little bit of a show for the fans down the stretch. Some of the fans that have been suffering day after day in these dog days of summer, watching some pretty poor baseball. I hope the Rangers can make it up to some of those fans over the next couple of months, game and a half. Yeah, Braden, we talked about this over and over. I'll give you the short version, buddy. Yeah, Bochy, back-to-back days, bad decision-making, in my opinion, and a lot of your opinions as well. Pulling pitchers, pulling the starting pitcher way too soon, and bullpen pretty much melting down immediately afterwards. Reaper, what's up? Thanks for the comment. Appreciate you tuning in today. I was at the game yesterday afternoon. I'm a Yankee fan, but you guys almost had it. And the Yankees bullpen is pretty suspect. Clay Holmes, the Yankees closer, I think they mentioned on the broadcast, has blown more saves than any other closer. So he's speaking facts there, and the Rangers almost made it happen. But the Yankees, man, that 1-2 punch, Soto and Judge, that's fun to watch. I'm jealous watching both those guys just absolutely rake at the top of the order. And that's what you need. I mean, look, you can deal. You can have a bad bottom half if the top of your order is super, super solid. And I wouldn't say the Yankees from 1-9 have a great order. But the Rangers, they just struggle to get consistent play from the top of the order. Maybe minus Corey Seager. I would say minus Seager, the top five, they have really struggled to have consistency. Marcus Semien has not had a consistent year. Josh Smith, I think for the first maybe two-thirds of the season, was pretty consistent. I think he has gotten a little inconsistent of late. The 4 and 5 spot have been a revolving door. The Rangers, you can have a bad 7-8-9 in the lineup, but you've got to have consistency up top if you got a bad 7-8-9. And the Rangers have a bad, right now, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is what it is. Is what it is. Let me go to headlines around the league, and I'll give you the quick version. So Mookie Betts coming off the IL for the Dodgers goes yard in his first game off the IL. The Yankees humbled by the White Sox. Wow. So the White Sox can beat the Yankees, and they beat them 12-2. But we have some trouble with them. White Sox have lost 91 games, but they can beat the Yankees. Go figure. That's just kind of the Rangers' year. A team comes in right after them and beats up on the team that they could not beat. How about it? DeGrom on the headline page, and DeGrom's quote, one of the headlines on MLB.com, the goal is to pitch this year. DeGrom faces live hitters for the second time. Let's lock in on this. DeGrom's first pitch against live hitters, I don't know if y'all saw this, Kennedy Landry, one of the Rangers beat writers. DeGrom's first pitch against live hitters, 99 miles an hour. That's exciting. That puts me in a better mood. DeGrom, 99 miles an hour on his first pitch against live hitters. Let me give you some more of his quotes. DeGrom says, I felt really good. Main thing is just dialing in the off-speed stuff. Changeup was good. Slider a little inconsistent, going to try not to do too much when the batters step in. But DeGrom says everything felt good. Location, honestly, everything. My first inning I thought was really good. Then the second one wasn't locating very well. So that's the next step. Just lock everything in and go from there. Travis Jankowski, El Blondie, said of DeGrom and his live session, it was nasty. I think he looked like a two-time Cy Young Award winner, one-time ERA leader. That's why he is where he is, right? Not easy to pick up. Ball gets on you really quick, and he's really, really good. So, Travis Jankowski, high praise for DeGrom, first time facing live hitters this year. That's good to see. He pitched against, looks like, El Blondie. Jankowski pitched also against Ezekiel Duran, and it doesn't mention anybody else that he pitched against. But there you go, a little DeGrom update for you to brighten your day. I really hope we do see Jacob DeGrom in September at some point. Hopefully he can have some good outings. Don't think we're going to lengthen him out, anything crazy, but a full season with Jacob DeGrom, I think, will do the Rangers a lot of good. A lot of good. I don't want to go through any more headlines, I think. I think we're going to end on that positive note with DeGrom, y'all. Let me go through comments, though. I don't think we've got a whole lot else. Somebody on TikTok, Deer Hunter, says, Bochy's teams are synonymous for underperforming in even-numbered years. That is so true. I mean, we talked about win a World Series, don't make the playoffs with Bochy's team. Win a World Series, don't make the playoffs. So maybe the odd-numbered year next year in 2025, Bruce Bochy's year. It is frustrating. Cripple King on TikTok says, it's frustrating that division was so close after the deadline. I totally agree. It was very frustrating that the division was right there within the Rangers' grasp, and we just consistently could not take advantage of some of the teams ahead of us losing and dropping games. And now it's too late. Houston and Mariners are on a heater right now. Houston won again today. The Mariners, I don't know if they played today or not. It looks like the Mariners might have been off today. The standings, by the way, we've got Houston leading by 8.5 games over the Rangers and by a half game over the Mariners. So Rangers out 8 total games from second place, 10 games out of the wild card. So not looking good, but we got Jacob DeGrom coming back. Tyler Mahle's been pitching great. Maybe somebody can get hot other than Corey Seager in the lineup. Maybe we can go ahead and get Jose Urania a little run support against Cutter Crawford and get a win tomorrow. That's going to be the plan. All right, y'all. I appreciate you tuning in. It's fun going live. Wish we could have gotten a Rangers win going live with y'all in extra innings. Wasn't meant to be, but we'll be back at you tomorrow post-game, hopefully after a Rangers dub. And I hope that y'all will come back and join me. If not, catch us on the replay. We've got our lives replaying on both Facebook and YouTube. If you're not able to catch them, we also put all of our lives on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So a lot of different ways to view and consume the content. Again, if you're not following the channel yet, not subscribed, please do so. Hit that notification bell or button. Get notified every time we go live. Stay up to date with all of our latest and greatest content. And share it with a Rangers fan. You know, somebody that loves the Rangers, that loves baseball in general. I would be very grateful if you would tell them about the channel, share one of my videos with them. Thank you so much. Last couple of comments here. I don't want to leave anybody hanging. In the offseason, I think you got to go after an outfielder. I don't think you can count on Evan Carter or Adolis Garcia to have great years next year. I think you got to go after an outfielder. I think every other position is pretty much booked beyond. I think you maybe can make an argument first base is a need. Maybe you try and see if you can upgrade from Nate Lowe. I think catcher is also going to be interesting. What do they do with Jonah Heim? Having one of his worst seasons in a really bad mire, are they really going to try and trot Jonah out there to be the 140, 150 games behind the dish guy? Or are they going to look to try and upgrade the catcher position? So I think outfield, I think first base and catcher are probably the three offensive. And then you're going to have to reload in the bullpen. You're going to have to go get a couple of guys maybe that can replace Yates or Robertson, unless they want to stick around on kind of a team-friendly deal. I don't know if the Rangers are going to be paying big bucks for Robertson or Yates as good as they've been. I just don't know if the Rangers are going to do it or not, so we'll see. But that is my that's my guess. That's my prediction on what the Rangers are going to be looking for in the offseason. But we're going to talk a lot more offseason as it gets a little bit closer. We'll definitely do a deep dive into who the Rangers could potentially go out and get, and who they might be able to afford, who makes sense, who's a good fit. But that's at least my preliminary thoughts. All right, y'all, have a great rest of your Monday night. We'll see you tomorrow after the Rangers-Red Sox game. I think it's a similar start time tomorrow, about 5 o'clock, or is it? I think it's about, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Central time, Texas time, 4 o'clock my time. So we'll see y'all after the game tomorrow. Have a great night. Have a great week ahead if I don't see you for a couple of days. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.